These bandanas make it hurt. Welcome to the Breaking Down the Bytes podcast. Interested in the IT field and looking for a way to break in? Are you a college student or looking for a career change? The IT industry is booming and has tons of opportunity. It's vast, complex, and can be overwhelming, but we can help. Come along as we break down some of the barriers as your insider to the tech industry.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week's edition of Breaking Down the Bytes. As usual, I'm your host, Pat. You can find me on Twitter at Layer8Packet. That's the number 8. You can find Kyle on Twitter at Daneth256. You can find the show on Twitter at Breaking Bytes Pod. Pretty active on Twitter, so come say hello. We like to chat. We like new friends, and we always like to follow you guys back. So we follow everybody back that follows us. So come say hello. We're pretty much on there all the time. So, all right, enough of that. Enough of yakking. Kyle, what's up, man? Back for another week. How you been?
That's it. Pretty good. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Can't complain. It's been cooler the last couple of days. No stupid hot and whatnot, so that's all good.
I'll definitely take it. You know, had the windows open at night. That's better than running the AC all the time. I don't know. It feels different.
I hear you. I wish I could open up the windows, but the wife just has allergies, and I can't even crack a window. Like, it's that kind of allergy. She's just all the time. It's like, oh, my goodness. It's been real good the last couple of days. No stupid heat, and, it's been nice to be outside, so can't complain about that. So we're back for another episode. I think it's a good one. Another episode this week. Last week we talked about office politics, which has done surprisingly well for us. A lot of people listen to that one. So this week we're going to talk about not staying stagnant in your career, and also sort of couple that with knowing when to stay at your current job or look for a new opportunity. And then also, like, what are some flags to say, okay, look, when it's time to start looking for a new job, whether that's things internal to you or things outside of your control, going on with the company. So I figure we would package all of those three together and kind of chew on that. Because you and Colin, you and I have different perspectives on this. Full disclosure, I've jumped quite a few jobs in the last 7-8 years, and you have not. So we have a completely different perspective on those sides of the aisles or those things. So I guess we'll kind of unpack that a little bit. But I guess I'll start off by saying I've heard this from multiple recruiters and whether they're internal or third parties. Because I've made a few recruiter friends over the last couple of years because I have job hops so much, but it's almost like job hopping now is considered the norm in the IT world today. Like I said, most recruiters, companies, they sort of second guess you if you've stayed at a place for too long. And so I think that plays a role in, trying to strike that balance of when's a good time to go or if grass is really greener on the other side, sort of thing. From my understanding, it's probably like that 2 to 3 year mark is where the sweet spot is. If you stay any longer than that, then they look at you like, oh, well, he's been there for, 5-6 years, and he's not really, is he really up on the newest technology, right? Is his place just kind of cruising and saying, okay, if it works, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right? That sort of thing. So I think there's a piece of that there that could go either way, right? You could show loyalty to a company and then, sort of march up the ladder that way, or, hop every 2 to 3 years and you get into touch, multiple environments in a 6 to 7 year time span that could be completely different environments, from where you've been. And, the more you see in your avenue, I think the better, more well-rounded you're going to be when things come up, because you've seen a bunch of it. So I think that's a double-edged sword. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or that particular piece of it.
Yeah, I've definitely, I mean, from my experience, it was kind of like, you know, it was that whole family mentality and everybody hangs out and you just kind of, you know, keep going and learn and work your way up the rungs. But most of the times now I've seen and read like that 2 to 3 year thing, like you said, and it's like, you know, hang out at a place a little bit, not so short that it kind of looks weird on like a resume or something like that, long enough to get some experience, get some different viewpoints, skills and stuff like that, and then jump to the next position or the next pay or the next like whatever that you want instead of waiting 5 years to get there, make the jump, and then, you know, kind of rinse and repeat till you're like, I'm happy where I'm at and this is where I want to stay kind of deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is a good point with the stay until you're satisfied, you know, sort of thing. And I think I'm at that point now where a point in my career now where it's, you know, and yeah, maybe you feel this way too, but it's more of like, okay, you're going to climb the ladder. And then eventually you're gonna be like, this is a sweet spot. I like it here. I can, there's enough for me to chew on and not be completely bored out of my mind after a year, you know, that sort of thing. So, but I think coming in from a newbie perspective, I think you're probably going to need at least 2 years, three, depending on size and structure of the company. Either at a help desk or a service desk or, you know, whatever they're calling it nowadays, to really get your hands dirty. And then after you get those initial 2 to 3 years, then you really start, you know, the hopping. So, okay, look, you know, I was at a help desk. I decided to go down the network path, and I'm using that because that's where you and I are.
Right.
You know, and say, okay, look, you know, and then I was a junior guy somewhere dealing, you know, just kind of hanging, doing some small route switch stuff, you know, switch ports and building configs and things of that nature. And then it's like, all right, well, how many switches can you build? You know, after a year, you're like, all right, this is kind of cookie cutter, you know, and then you're like, okay, what else is out there? Oh, you got, you know, you got all this, you know, all the stuff in automation space and network and, or, you know, do some of the big boy stuff like, you know, BGPs and SD-WAN and all that kind of stuff. And you're like, all right, well, let's chew on that for a couple of years. And then it's okay. Well, then let's do firewalls. Like, do you do Palo? Do you do ASAs? Do you do Firepower? Do you do Fortinet? You know, all this stuff. And then, so you eventually find your spot where you're like, okay, there's enough here that I can kind of hang and chew and kind of go from there. But I think that's a good point with the, you know, like I said, the 2 to 3 year mark is sort of where the sweet spot is. After that, you're kind of moving on. And I don't know about you, but you know, these companies, they want to sit here and say, oh, well, we want to, you know, grow with us and all this stuff. And it's like, okay, well, that's good to say, but you gotta, you gotta do it on a day-to-day basis or else you're just churning wheels and you're eventually, you know, that position is going to be an open door or, you know, a revolving door, I should say. So, yeah, there's some lip service with that, but you know, it is what it is. But the 2 to 3 years is where the sweet spot is. And you know, I think along with that, personal drive I think has a lot to do with career path that you're in or how frequent you jump, right? Because
yeah, for sure.
For me, oh my God, there was a good 3-4 years there where I was just like, all right, what's next? Okay. What's next? Okay. What's next? And I just kept going. And the wife, I drove her crazy for like 2 or 3 years. I was just jumping. And she's like, geez, can't you stay more than one, you know, at one place for more than, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I gotta go, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, but I think personal drive has a lot to do with that. When I passed my CCNA in 2013, you know, I was the data center and I said, look, I got this shiny paper. It says I can do this. And they went, yeah, that's great. But, you know, somebody needs a server rebooted. Go for it. I'm just like, this isn't for me anymore. It's like, right. I got to go somewhere that like, this is actually going to pay off. And it did. It opened some doors. The CCNA did. It didn't open as many as I thought it would. I thought when I got my CCNA, like they would be like companies would be blowing down my door, like, come work for us. It didn't happen that way. You know, you needed that mix or that blend of, you know, hands-on experience plus the piece of paper. I think that's the sweet spot. And it almost feels like you're going to have to have somebody give you a chance at that, especially being brand new and sort of not being at that rung of that ladder before. Somebody's got to take a chance on you and say, okay, look, I can shape this person into, you know, what I need them to be, you know, that sort of thing. So I did that and I jumped to Evolve, and Evolve was where I really, that environment was really, really good, as far as like growing people and getting them in that environment, which was pretty fast paced. And we had Nikki Townsend on a few weeks ago. And you know, we said we worked hard, we played hard. And, at that time I had a boss that was very, very cert heavy. He loved the cert game. So he was pushing us, and there was only four of us in my department. He was pushing us to really get certs, and I was the only one that had a CCNA at that time, in my department. So, pushing. And then I actually studied for the CCNP, at that time and passed it while I was at Evolve. And again, more of that personal drive, like, okay, you know, can I get to that next level? What's that next level for me? And the CCNA opened doors, but I tell you, the CCNP really like blew the doors off the hinges. Like when I got the MP, I had people coming at me going, we want you, this is the number we're going to throw at you, blah, blah, blah. So that was really, really good, in that aspect. And there again, I sort of outgrew the Evolve, position, and didn't really have anything else for me at that time. So I was like, how many switches or how many voice routers can I do when everything's cut from a cut and paste cookie cutter, you know, Notepad Plus, right. You know, thing. So I was like, I need to do more. So, then I left and then after that, I got my CCNA in security. And when I went to M3, that was a cool spot because I liked the people I worked with, but they weren't really burning anything as far as like cutting edge technology sort of thing. They were just kind of like, this stuff works. We're just kind of cruise along, and you know, if it breaks, we'll fix it. It was very reactive, but I mean, not to say that's bad. Everyone's a little different, but I got to travel when it was over in London for a little bit with those guys, and it was cool. It was a cool spot. So. Yeah, and then after that, I kind of just slowed down the drive. I don't want to say it teetered off, but it definitely slowed down because that was in a couple of employers that really didn't value the cert game in that instance. They were just kind of like, eh. So I kind of you know teetered off and. Truth be told, now all my Cisco stuff is expired, so I'd have to take it off. I'd have to take it again to actually pass it. So they expired in 2020. So, you know, it is what it is. But I'm at a point now where I don't necessarily need them anymore. I'm done sort of climbing from – you're never quite done. But it's a decent spot where, you know, I don't need a cert to get to that next level of money or next title or anything like that because I'm at the top. Like then my next move would probably be some sort of like management, you know, that sort of thing, like managing a team underneath me or, you know, that sort of thing. So, and that's just not in the cards from where I'm at. So, which is totally fine. So, yeah, that's cool too. So I had the personal drive and all that off of the tangent. So sorry about that. All of that, it just shows that your personal drive has a lot to do with the career path. Some folks, like I said, are just fine staying for a while, hanging out. And then others climb the ladder more quickly with certs and, you know, jumping around like I did. So, I don't know, Kyle, you kind of were at a place for a while. You kind of had the other option of, you know, just kind of hanging out for a while. Did you see like pros or cons to that? Or, I mean, I'm sure you can think of a few.
Yeah. You know, it was basically my first tech job. Started working there as a student. You know, just like a work study and student worker, and then just kept, you know, nose to the grindstone kind of thing. You know, like that's what you always heard. You're like, yeah, you treat a company good and they'll treat you. You just stay for 60 years until you retire. You know, like that's kind of what I thought was like, you know, what you did, you know? So I got in and I'm like making progress and, you know, ooh, now I'm part-time, you know, yep. work a little harder, got a full-time gig, you know, move around, learn some different skills. Like, since it was an educational, you know, institution kind of deal like that, they kind of valued education. So I was like, I'm going to get my bachelor's degree, you know, kind of deal like that.
Right.
Just kept going. And then I'm like, oh, I'll get my bachelor's and then I'll get bumped and then I'll do something else and I'll get bumped. And then it eventually kind of like petered out. To the point where it was like, I'm doing this work, I'm getting certifications, and I'm really not growing anymore or getting much of the chance to grow.
Yep.
And that's kind of when it got to the point where like, well, how am I supposed to improve if, you know,
yeah,
can't get anywhere.
Can't go anywhere. Yeah. Yep. I get it. I get it. And the other thing with the job hopping too is like, you know, typically, and like you said, Kyle, like, oh, you give the company, give them some loyalty, you hang around, you grow with them, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, but normally the paycheck doesn't kind of come with that loyalty or that longevity.
You know? Yeah.
Usually as you jump around, you get paid more. And my buddy Alex always said, your next job should always be your biggest pay raise. And that's true. That's 100% true. As you jump, you're leaving things on the table if you go for the same amount of money or less. Now, right. There's always instances of that where, you know, you were cut and you needed something fast, you know, that sort of thing. Now, that's a different story, right? But if you're in a decent spot and it's just a natural, you're looking naturally just for that next rung, you always should be bumping for more money. That's just a way of life, you know, that sort of thing. And the other thing too, not to sit here and bash companies, but I think in the last 10, 12, maybe 15 years, you know, oh, you got this and you got to grow and there's loyalty and blah, blah, blah. And I struggled with leaving all my jobs. That means there's confrontation involved to me actually dropping bad news on somebody. And that's just not who I am. I hate it, but it's one of those things you got to do. But it's like, look, if the company had to make cuts for whatever reason, whether that's poor performance or they were bought out or restructured or whatever, and you were on the chopping block, they can tell you whatever they want. I don't think they don't lose any sleep over it. So when you get another position or you get a better opportunity, mm-hmm. It's a business at that point. It's a business transaction. Say, look, I got to go. See you later. Like,
that's it.
You know what I mean? Like, so, you know, and I know in today's company world, it's, you know, oh, this and we're partners. It's like, are you really? Like, you know, I'm sure some are, right? Some really do have that feel and that vibe to it. But for the vast majority of it, it's a business, right? You know, you're providing them a service and they're paying you whatever they're paying.
Right.
So if there's a better opportunity that somebody's going to pay you better, that's it.
Right. See you, Jack. And I mean, like realistically, if you're in a position, are you really the only person that could fill that position?
Right.
You know, like as soon as you jump, they're going to be like, well, we'll just get somebody else in here that can do.
Correct.
You know,
correct. Yeah. That's it. Before your seat's even cold. They got it filled. So don't, you know, you're not one of a kind. I hate to say that in today's world and culture that we live in, but you're just not. It is what it is. They got 10 more bodies behind you filling your spot. It's just what it is. So, you know, there's that. Personally, I'm a big fan of the certs. They've done well for me. That's the only experience I can sort of drive off of. They've done well for me. I just passed another one this week, the Azure 900, which is the Azure Fundamentals. So ooh, that's, you know, yeah, it never expires, which is nice. So I'll have that till the day I go, which is great. you know, in today's world, they, you know, usually they expire every 3 years and you got to retest somewhere in that 3 year period. But the AZ 900 does not expire. So for all you folks that want to be in the cloud or at least dabble your feet in the cloud, Azure 900 is a good one.
There you go. You can tell your grandkids about it. And they'll be like, okay, grandpa, let's get you back to, you know.
That's right. Yeah. We're talking with aliens now telepathically. Yeah. We don't even use the cloud anymore. Oh. That's another podcast for another day because I love all that stuff. But anyway, you know, Kyle, I text you that shit all the time. Yeah,
all the time.
I was like, what would it be so like? What would it be like to see a UFO? Listen, if anybody's ever seen a UFO, hit me up on Twitter, Layer 8 Packet. I'm telling you, I want to hear your story. Anyway, dude, tangent. I watch all of
right.
it. Like, I legit, like, it is on my TV 24/7 as far as I can. Like, between two kids and their love of Bluey and everything Disney Plus, like, every time I get, like, a waking second to watch TV by myself, it is on some sort of documentary on, like, aliens or Bigfoot or any of that crazy shit, because I love it. I am here for it, let me tell you. Like, I fall asleep to, like, Expedition Unknown or like Josh Gates, who like travels the world and does all these cool mysteries and tries to solve. That's like background noise when I go to sleep and stuff. It's awesome. Anyway, so yeah, anybody has any of that kind of stuff or finds that interesting, hit me up. We'll have a discussion. Anyway, getting back on task, not on the tangent that was just on. I would say look at your situation and say, okay, look, is it just a bad day or a bad couple of days? Or is it really something that is like beyond repair and time to look? Cause it's like, okay, you have to make sure it's a good jump, right? So moving jobs is stressful as it is with all the things that are wrapped around that process, but make sure you're making the moves for the right reasons. Cause I've been in some places where sometimes the grass isn't always greener on the other side. Make sure, yeah, and in that same breath, make sure you're not burned out in the first 6 months of the new job due to the same issues you had at the previous place. So you always want to, and there's not a foolproof, sort of vibe to that. There's no method that you can fully say, okay, look, yes, this is a better fit. But, you have to really look at your situation and say, okay, look, am I just having a bad couple of days and I just want to, kick people where the sun don't shine? Or is this like, am I going home every day and like, taking it out on family members, and you're just so stressed out, you're just a walking ball of stress. So
right.
that's another thing you have to sort of come into focus and say, okay, look, is this a good jump? Because you don't want to be looking for another job in another 6 months because you're in the same position, right? You sort of have to wheel that in and kind of, take a look at yourself and assess your situation.
Yeah, but definitely say, I'm sure most people have individuals that they interact with daily, weekly, whatever. Ask them, like I've had friends, they're like, I want to make a jump and I don't know. Like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all you do is complain about where you work constantly. No, I don't. I'm like, no, seriously, like 9 out of 10 conversations start off with like, this place did this today, or this guy did that at work, or, yeah, like whatever the case may be. And it's like, yeah, it's a constant. And they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, you're just living it. Like,
yep.
And that was kind of they're like, no. And then he asked his wife and blah, blah, blah. And the next thing you know, he's like, oh yeah, I gotta go. Like that place is not for me anymore, And
yep.
Kind of work, but friends, family, ask them, what's up? What their opinion on? Hey, I was thinking about jumping jobs, or here's some things. Maybe you have somebody else that has already done it. Get some input from them.
Yep.
Run some numbers. I don't know. Talk about benefits. It's all good.
Yeah, open that conversation up to multiple people, just say, hey, I'm really feeling this. Like, what do you think? Or, that sort of thing. And the other thing, too, it's kind of a nice segue, but, you have to talk to the family about changing jobs, too, right? It's not, if you have a family, it's not just about you, because you're doing the everyday sludge, right? Mm-hmm. It's an everyone decision. You got to weigh the pros and cons of moving and how it affects everyone, especially if you have kids. Like I have two kids now, and it's like, all right, like, before when it was just the wife and I could change on a whim and There's no problems, you know, because it was all me, right? It was all just, you know, my wife's a teacher, so she ain't going anywhere. So, you know, she did her thing and I did mine. But now that we have kids and, you know, insurance and making sure everybody's covered and schedules and remote work is a big one now in the last couple of years due to the pandemic. But, you know, is it remote? Is it hybrid? Is it completely in the office, right? That takes a toll on people and, you know, other members of the family and schedules. And I know, you know, the oldest daughter goes to the babysitter twice a week now with the wife's off in the summer. So, you know, I'm thankful to work from home exclusively to be able to pick her up if I need to, or take her in the morning, or, you know, things of that nature. So if, you know, if I'm at a job that requires me to be at my seat at 8 o'clock, none of that's happening. You know, none of the other, you know, taking her to the babysitter or even picking her up or whatever, none of that is actually happening. So, you know, all of that weighs on your decision to actually move. And it's not just a you decision. It's an everybody, you know, decision at that point too, sort of thing. So I know, Kyle, you're married, you got a sweetheart. That decision has to come into that as well. And you just changed jobs not too long ago. So I'm sure you and the wife sat down and had a heart to heart about, you know, am I moving or am I staying?
Right. Yeah, it was actually 6 months ago on Sunday.
Look at that.
Right. And so I was like, wow. Cause I was like, wow, the 14th was already here. I'm like, how did that happen so fast? It was like a blink.
That's
and,
it.
And here we are.
Gone.
So, but I mean, you know, that was stressful. It was a lot of talking. It was a lot of like, you know, I've been at this place. This is like what I know. Yep. All my, you know, friends work here, because basically at that point, you know, like, yeah, I've worked with these people for 14 years, kind of deal like that. And, you know, I remember thinking like when people would come and then they would leave, I'm like, yeah, it's all right, you weren't part of the family anyway, you know. And then like, yeah, it's whatever, it's just like, keep the core group here. Right. Yeah.
Fine. And go home. Just, you take your ball and you go home. We don't need you.
And then kind of, you know, like after a while and stuff like that, I was just like, oh, this is kind of like a silly way to think of it. Again, you know, but being kind of taught and whatnot of like, you get into a company and you just stay.
Yeah.
And, you know, like you were a pretty big inspiration for me, because I'm like, oh, he's jumping around. He's doing good. He's, you know, he's, you know, and I remember you've been like, yeah, it's tough. I like these people, but, you know, essentially I got to do what's best for me in my situation. And right. I'm like, okay, yeah, that's right. And, you know, and even when I jumped, I still talk to like almost everybody that I worked with now still anyway. Like,
there you go.
They didn't die. No. They're still there. They're just an instant message away or whatever. You know,
phone numbers.
Like, yeah, right. So I'm like, oh, this is actually, you know, it's fine. It's, yeah. I'm just doing something else different. At a different place.
Right.
And that's it.
That's it.
You know, and I'm like, this, yeah, it's fine. It's fine. The adjustment period was a little tough.
Yep.
You know, obviously there's the anxiety of changing and like, is this going to be the right choice? Am I screwing up my entire life?
Sure.
But, yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you. That's a good point of the adjustment period, right? Cause you got to give yourself time. You got to give yourself and others really a time to adapt. Right. So, you know, if you're going from an office job from, you know, 8 to 5 or whatever, and then you have an hour drive home, you're rolling in at 6. Right. So,
right.
But now if you're working from home all the time and the wife gets home at 4:35, you're there, you know, with her. So that's an adjustment time for everybody. Right. So, that sort of thing. So yeah, give people time to adjust. Like you said, 6 months went in a blink. Yeah, you know, so it wasn't you know, wasn't too crazy, but yeah, you got to give people time to adjust. And I think you have to give some of your, like you said, some of your coworkers time to adjust too, because you've been with them for so long that now there's going to be, I don't want to say this void, but it's like the routine is different because you're not showing up every day like you used to, you know. That's like, oh, Kyle's not here tomorrow. Shit. You know, that sort of thing. So they got to deal with that, you know, with that as well. So that was a good point.
And I mean, that could be a little eye opening too. Cause I mean, after you work with somebody for so long, you know, everybody kind of adjusts and you can easily like fill in for somebody else's like strengths or weaknesses or something like that. And just kind of work as this, as you know, a team.
Yep.
When you're on a new team, you know, you got to start from scratch.
Sure.
So that's, you know, it's an adjustment period too.
Yeah. You got to give new team time to say, okay, you know, kind of learn your, you know, work style, quirks, whatever you want to call it. And that sort of thing. So there's definitely a probation period, if you will. Trying to do that. So, that's a good one. And then the other thing I kind of thought of too, and I've done this before in certain roles, but you know, you're not quite ready to move on yet. You know, if you're not quite ready to move on and make that sort of jump or leap, I would say invest in yourself. Right, look for, you know, again, me being a cert guy, right? Look for a cert that is useful in your role, your current role, or if you're sort of, you know, outgrowing your role, or what, you know, or a cert that may, you know, that may help you in your next role or obtain that, you know, next role up the ladder, right? So, you know, for example, I was at Evolve. I had my CCNA, and then I kind of got my feet wet there, and then I started studying for the CCNP. And at that time, CCNP was 3 tests: route, switch, and troubleshoot. They had each one of them had their own tests, and they were
wow.
Yeah, it was brutal. But yeah, you know, and I thought, well, all right, the CCNA is cool, and I'm here. I'm doing a lot of cool stuff. But what's at that next rung? What's at that next ladder? All right. Well, CCNP covers cool stuff like, you know, BGP and OSPF and all those cool routing protocols and, you know, that sort of thing. So all this complex stuff like data center and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So ISIS is another one. So I was like, oh, what's that? And then like, I sort of had this mentality of like, okay, they've been really supportive of me in the CCNA stuff. And so I went for my CCNP and they just didn't have the spot. They just didn't have a spot open, in their data engineering department. They actually had a guy, that was in their tier two, position, that was sort of like this tier two / data engineering guy. He was like in the middle, like he did the data engineering stuff, but he technically wasn't part of that department. So they already had him sort of anointed as when the next opening in data engineering came available, he was going to fill it. So then I was like, even behind that. And I was like, ah, I don't want to wait that long. You know, there's so much out there. So, and, you know, shout out to Nate. And Nate's been a real good friend of mine for a couple of years. And my buddy Alex is in that data engineering department and he worked real close with Nate. And we became real close over the last, you know, while all our time was there, and some really, really smart guys. So, you know, I got the CCNP. It just never, you know, kind of came to fruition there at Evolve, but someone came, M3 came and scooped me up and that was fine. So, but yeah, I would say, look, you know, like I said, look for a cert in your, that's going to be useful to you in your current role. Or if, like I said, if you're tired of your current role, what maybe the next role or the next rung up or the next title, like what would help, you know, sort of get there. Yeah. And that too, like sometimes that cert or that rigid structure that you have to have, that mentality of studying for that cert 2 nights a week or 3 nights a week, whatever your time frame is, sometimes that actually can spark some confidence and put new light on things and say, okay, look, this isn't that bad. I'm glad I stayed because now I have something else to, you know, to kind of bide my time with and, you know, sort of learn outside the box of my everyday, you know, everyday role. So I've had that as well. Some of the cert stuff that just kind of, I don't say takes your mind off of the suck, but that's probably a little too harsh. But I think focusing your energy on something that's obtainable and not focusing your energy on something that you can't change, I think that makes a world of difference as far as, you know, from a mentality standpoint of, yeah, it's worth it to move, or no, it's not worth it to move.
Right.
I don't know, Kyle. Do you have any certs coming up? Man, you talk about it. You gotta put your foot down, man.
I know. I'm just like I said. I'm so undecided.
You are. You're so indecisive.
Well, What about this? What about that? You know, I don't want to pick the wrong one, but and then like end up with like decision paralysis. So I was like,
there is nothing. There is no such thing as the wrong decision or the wrong the wrong cert. If you're using it now, and yeah, you kind of have a vibe of what your company uses, right? Like I wouldn't say, yeah. Oh, you know, if your company is a complete Cisco shop, I wouldn't go for a VMware cert, you know what I mean? Or like a Juniper cert. Like that doesn't make sense. It has to make sense of, you know, what your current environment is. Right. So, you know, the Azure one made sense for me because that's, you know, where we're moving to. Right. So that's, it's obviously the cloud is huge and whatnot. So, you know, and who knows, you know, maybe I'll take the equivalent of the AWS. Right. I forget what the equivalent AWS cert is escaping me at the moment, the name of it, but AWS has a equivalent cert to the fundamentals. Maybe down the road I'll take that and whatnot. But I've so much on the plate. Like I got, you know, the new job and trying to, you know, swim through that, which it's been really good. But like, you know, I went and bought the book for the Cisco DevNet. Right, the Python and the automation stuff, and I got to chapter 3 in Python. I haven't gotten any further than that. And then, yeah, but then I got this Azure stuff, and Azure has a network cert. I think it's the AZ-700. I think the cert name is that deals all with networking, and that's a newer one this year for Azure. And I hear it's a doozy. I hear it's pretty steep. So, and I also hear like people say, hey, take the Azure administrator one first, like the AZ-104, which is like the administrator level, you know, whatever, not entry level, it's between entry level and expert. I don't know what you're going to call it, but they say take that first before you go for the AZ-700, because it's that AZ-700 is no joke. So think about that. So it's like I have all this stuff on the plate and I'm not sure where to prioritize it, which I've never been great at prioritizing anything anyway. So ask the wife, she'll tell you all about that. But so I got, it's just so much going on. But again, like, do I do Azure every day? No. I poke around. We don't have that big of an environment in Azure, so it's nothing crazy, but it's something different. It's something new outside of the, you know, Cisco environment that I swim in every day. So it was a nice change of pace to get outside. And, you know, now that I passed that cert, I'm like, this Azure stuff's pretty cool. And that's going to make me want to go for the next one, right? So that brings back to the point of it can spark some of that, you know, confidence and put a new light, you know, into things. So, you know, so that's definitely on the plate there as well. So those are just a couple of things of, okay, look, staying stagnant, trying not to stay stagnant in your career. And then also saying, hey, that critical decision of whether to stay or go, you know, at your current gig or look for a new one. But the other piece to kind of touch on that is like, okay, look, all right, you like making a decision to stay or go is based on your own headspace and say, okay, that's your own decision. You're putting that in motion. But there are some times that like you also have to start looking for a new job or like when that time is due to outside factors, right? So whether that's new management, or I should say do the things that are outside of your control, new management, department restructures, right? Downsizing, we're going to call it. Your company was bought out by a larger company and now, you know, your job's been made redundant, you know, things of that nature. So you try to look for those things ahead of time and say, okay, look, there's some writing on the wall here that I'm not super, super comfortable with. So I better start looking before, you know, you want to get to them before they get to you, right? That's the ultimate goal, right? You know, so just a couple of things are like, okay, time to look for a new job when a couple of those things happen, right? Outside of your control. But also like when it's time to look for a new job, when your attitude changes, your demeanor changes. And I've been in this place before where I've just been a ball of stress at the end of the workday and coming home. And, I used to just grin and bear it and cringe and yell and scream. And it wasn't at any, it wasn't, certainly wasn't at my wife. It's not her fault, but like she got the brunt of that. Cause I would just come home and just word vomit, just blah, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, all right. When you get to that point, it's like, all right, it's time to start looking here. Cause this just isn't a healthy environment for anyone, you know, including people around you. So when you start to take too much of your work home, right, and it starts to affect other people, then it's time to really start to look and say, okay, look, you know. So I've had both of those, right? I've had both of those. So when the things outside of your control, like new management or restructure, that actually happened to me at M3. They were restructuring. People were shuffling around. M3 is actually owned by their parent company was in Japan. So they actually sent somebody over from Japan. And he was like the new quasi CIO, I guess you want to call it. And then my boss didn't get along with him. And therefore, they basically said, see you later. They said, look, you know, walk away or we're going to make you walk away, that sort of thing. And then once he was out of there, then, you know, the rest of us were certainly not safe either. So I was like, this is time to, you know, time to rock and roll and, you know, get out of here sort of things. So I've been on that side of it. I've also been on the side of, you know, when the attitude thing, like I said, coming home and yelling at the wife or, you know, yelling, not at the wife, it's certainly not her fault, but, you know, just being that ball of stress of, you know, just knowing when to quit and you know, when you take too much of it home, that's just, you know, that's not a good place. It actually started to happen to me at Evolve. I just had too much. Like I was doing the same stuff over and over and over, and it just was never getting anywhere. And I had my CCMP and, you know, they just didn't, like I said, there was no room for me. And so I was just, I thought I was better than the position I was in at the time. And then every little thing that happened bothered me. And I was like, this is time to go. I can't do this anymore. Like it was almost like I was looking for things to be upset about. And then I would just be like, brr, you know, one of those deals. So I'm like, yeah, this is time. It's time to go. I can't be here no more. And then I guess the last one to kind of know when it's time to look, if just you're ready for a new challenge, right? Either in your same vein, right, or in a completely new direction. Like I know people that were, you know, tier one, tier two help desk folks, and then they moved into project management, right? They moved on to another company, and they got sucked up as a PM, and you know, they've been with it ever since, you know. Or and then obviously, you know, it's easier to move in your same vein, right? Because that's what you're good at and what you like. But I think it's a little harder to do, to go in a different direction. So I give kudos to those people that, you know, have sort of left one vein behind and now are moving in a totally different direction and doing well at it. So, you know, kudos to those folks. So I don't know, Kyle, do you have anything to add to that or any of that kind of word vomit that I just went on for the last 5 minutes?
I'm going to get back up to your certs and job hopping and stuff like that, you know, and like an object in motion stays in motion. So like, once you started blasting through certs and you get that, like that accomplishment, you get that boost of morale and confidence and stuff like that, you know, just keep it going.
Yep.
Just keep plowing through things, keep, you know, working up. And then, you know, eventually you'll hit a point where you're like, no, I'm good. This is good. This is, you know, where I'm ready to be. But like, yeah, I know what you mean too about the, just you come home and you're like, I don't want to go back to that place tomorrow.
Yep.
Like, I don't, you know, and like your attitude sucks. You don't feel great. It's mentally like draining, even though you're not like mentally exhausted by doing things. Right. You're still like, just, you know, beat up in your own head and like, just sick of it. You're tired of it. You know, you get to that point where you're like, gotta go.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah. That's a big one. You just got to know before you get to that point, you know, of like screaming at people just for, you know, coming in and sitting down on the couch.
Right.
Know? Know before you get there. Cause once you, it's an ugly place. It really is.
You sat on the couch wrong.
How dare you? Now, but no matter what you do, what your reason for leaving is, we talked about it last week when some of the office politics stuff, you always leave on good terms. Always, always, always. I don't care how bad they treated you or whatever. I mean, there's always circumstances, right? But, you know, 98% of them, you just leave on good terms. No matter how rocky the job has been, you know, at the time or whatever, just don't burn bridges. It's just not a good look. You know, references and resumes still matter in today's world. So just do the right thing and, you know, just kind of bite your tongue and go. And I've bit my tongue at quite a few places, you know, so it just is what it is. It's just not worth your professional reputation potentially being damaged for, you know, a feel good 10 minutes, right?
Right.
It's just not, you know, and as always, you're in control of your own career path. So, so if the situation that it isn't getting any better, no matter how much effort you put forward, you just have to know when it's time to switch jobs. You know, it's not a decision that's taken lightly. Like I said, it affects everybody. It just depends on everyone's situation is different. So, kind of throw that out there. So I don't know, Kyle, do you have anything else to add to that?
I would say, if you're thinking about doing the jump, the stay, the whatever, start making lists. When you think of things, weigh out the pros and cons, you know what I mean? Like you could have a stressful day and you're like, screw this place. You know, I'm ready to quit on the spot. And then you could have like great days, you know, write it down, weigh it out. All the different pros and cons, talk it over with people, you know, get a fresh set of eyes and stuff on it. Super helpful. Yeah. You know, cause you don't want to make some sort of rash decision because you're emotional, you're drained, you're lashing out at people. You just jump because you're having a shit week or something like that. And then you like look back and you're like, well, that was stupid. Like, what did I do that for?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I would say, you know, just get it off your chest, right? You know, just say, hey, look, I had this or I had this or whatever. And technically, like what I've been doing lately is I've actually been using my lunch hour to go take a walk around the development. Not that I'm stressed or anything at work. It just gets me outside because some of you may or may not know, but I'm in the basement because it's the only room in the house that my wife and kids haven't taken over yet. So, but it's like it's a standard basement. There's not a lot of windows and just, you know, concrete walls and stuff. But like there's, you know, I don't get to see a whole lot of the outside, you know, daytime. So I, you know, at lunchtime I get up and go take a walk around the development. And usually the walk I do is about a mile, so it takes me 20 minutes or whatever to walk, and then I'll come back and, you know, have some lunch, and then by that time, it's ready to go back downstairs and hit it again. But I find that getting outside your, you know, the day to day, you know, don't, you know, not working through lunch is always a positive. Getting out and just taking a walk and getting that fresh breath of air and moving and that sort of thing. I feel like, you know, and then by the time I come back in the afternoon, I'm re-energized and ready to hit it again. So I feel like that's good too. But to Kyle's point, you know, write down your pros and cons, have other people at least take a flyer on it and say, look, you're overreacting, or no, these are general concerns, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And give it to somebody that you know is going to give it to you straight, right? Not just somebody that's going to like go along in your vacuum and say, oh, look, yeah. But you never want to make those decisions in a vacuum, right? You always want to open that up to an outside source, because you know, if you're always stuck in your echo chamber, you're never going to hear anything different. So letting yourself know and giving yourself time to digest and whatnot is always a good thing. And you know, it's sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just, hey, I got to go for a multitude of reasons, and you just go. Like, you can't feel guilty about it, you know, because I used to do that too. I used to feel guilty leaving people or, you know, whatever, or I felt like I had this weird loyalty to the company when, you know, it's just like, look, if they had to make cuts, they wouldn't think twice about it. So, you know, like we talked about earlier. So, you know, it's a business transaction, is what it is. So, you know, that's where we're at as a market, as an industry, and, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, people that have made it to the top, you know, to the tops of Microsoft's and Cisco's and VMware's and all those places, they change jobs all the time. You know, so I know a bunch of people that worked for Cisco. Now they're, you know, some are at Microsoft, some are at, you know, all these security tech startups and all this. It's like, you know, the top of their ladder doesn't mean you're always going to stay there. So just keep that in mind. Yeah. So,
yeah, I was going to say, perfect example. Hop on LinkedIn, look at some of the job histories of people that you like, you know, in some of these big positions. See,
yeah,
you know, you kind of model something after. Oh, well, they stayed here 3 years. They got a bunch of certs. They jumped over there. They took a different position in something else, and then they jumped back.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
It is. Yeah, it is. So, that it, Kyle, for you?
Yeah. I think that about covers it.
That's about covers it. That's it. Yeah, we're right around that hour mark, so we're going to get out of here and let you get on with your day, but we appreciate you joining us this week and always with the new episode of Breaking Down to Bytes. So, again, make sure you visit our website, breakingbytespod.io, where you can subscribe to the show right from there. iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or just an RSS feed. We have it there too. But whatever your platform or choice, it's there. Go take a peek at it, and you can subscribe right from there if you'd wish. Throw us a rating on iTunes. That would be awesome. If you simply tell a friend, that's awesome too. Word of mouth is just as good, I believe. Most of you are on iTunes. We do get stats from where people listen to us from. So the vast majority of you are listening to us on iTunes. So we appreciate that. So you're already there. So get a rating in. That would be awesome. Follow us on Twitter. As always, we're always on Twitter and our DMs are open. Whatever you want to do, come say hi at Breaking Bytes Pod. I'm at Layer 8 Packet. Kyle's at Danith256. But if you just go to the show, look at our bio. All of our Twitter handles are in there. LinkedIn is new for us. LinkedIn.com/BreakingBytesPod. Go and hang out there. Facebook.com/BreakingDownToBytes. Discord server to hang out with you guys. That's the invites in the show notes. So come say hello there. We have a survey out there that has gotten some traction in the last couple of weeks since we're starting to mention it again. I think there's like 9 or 10 questions on there, Kyle, something like that. Just to help us tweak the show a little bit. Just general questions, nothing too crazy. We don't know who you are. It's completely anonymous. We don't collect emails or any of that kind of junk. We do respect privacy on this show, so that's always good. So go and check that out. It just tells you your answers and aggregates all that data for us, so we can just kind of build the show a little better for you guys. We are trying to get together an idea for a Q&A show. So if you have questions, we're trying to figure out how to do that. As far as like, do we just want it to be another like Google survey doc and just write just direct you there? Or if anybody knows of a app or web app or whatever that lets people ask questions anonymously, let us know, because we're kind of trying to facilitate some of that. But we do want to do a Q&A podcast for you guys. So I think that's gaining some steam. So be on the lookout for that in the next couple of weeks. We have some cool guests coming up in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned with that. So you'll hear more than just Kyle and I's voice in the next couple of weeks, and which is always good, right? Because people don't tune in to hear us. They tune in to hear the other smart people that we have on the show. So it's all good. That's it. Like I said, all of our socials, all of our links will be in the show notes. So head on over there and follow us on your platform of choice. And that's it. See you for another week. See you next week. And that's it. See you, Kyle.
All right. So long.
Bye, everybody.